Infinite Global Consciousness.
G'day, this is Nurki with another AboveTopSecret.com member podcast, responding to Magic's thread of Amon's planar model of spiritual reality. Well, first I'd just like to say congratulations, mate. Good job. You finally hit the nail on the head. Now hopefully some other people can listen to it and get an idea about the nature of consensus reality. And you said that your spiritual name is Amon. In Egyptian mythology, another name for Amun was Amon. Amun was the god of the wind, who had blue skin in human form, and was the resolver and reconciler of feuds between friends. He was a peacekeeper. In Hebrew mythology and history, he was the king of Judah, and he reigned from 642 to 640 BC, and he restored idolatry to the communes, of which his father Manasseh had broken down. According to the history, his reign was marked by excessive moral depravity, and he was eventually assassinated by his servants. Well, that's a little bit of background information on a couple of previous Amons. And Magic said that white lighter names start with an A. Well, I'd like to put a bit of information about myself into that. My real name is what's written on my birth certificate, actually, because my mother herself is a white lighter as well, and she gave me the name Aaron. And I took upon myself the name Nurki to live in this false consensus reality. And even my friends in real life call me Nurki. Magic started off by going about the true Buddhas and how they establish their own plane of existence. And to quote, from their plane they observe other planes. And then he went into the exclusory nature of the Buddhist paradise plane. Does this relate to the fact that planes are only experienced by those who were brought into it in the first place, and that no one else can come in? And after that, Magic went on about feeling other entities in the universe. Is this because of the fact that every physical component of the universe, what we see, is a very minute component of total reality, and that we exist in more than just the five-sense world? So in being unable to see them, we can feel their high-dimensional existence. And then Magic went on about, quote, I created this to help me deal with what's going on recently. Magic, a little bit of warning, don't get too attached to forms and ideas and coping methods, because it's coping methods that can actually hinder our spiritual progress. We continually use the same coping methods in order to indoctrinate ourselves into the same thought processes, which create memories which we use in the future to determine future spiritual growth. And in enlightenment, we can't use forms and memories to determine spiritual awakening, and that spiritual freedom is held in chains by coping methods. Magic then went on about planes being a state of being brought about by the interaction of two spirits. I'd like to add that without interaction, spirits are kept isolated and alone and self-absorbed. And that when spirits collide, they create a multidimensional existence between the two, which Magic calls a plane. And does this relate to our consensus reality in this world? And next, Magic used the phrase that this plane of existence is a spiritual democracy, or that all planes of existence are a spiritual democracy. Well, in this plane of existence, I choose to use my vote to say, love is all you need, I am me, I am free, and infinite love is the only truth, everything else is illusion. And I choose to vote against this consensus reality of a five-sense existence. And then Magic went on to say that God spirits require meditation and prayer to fortify their existences. Well, I'd like to say that given the chaotic nature of energy forms, is it not possible that we have created these gods in the interplanar space between spirits? Is it possible, given quantum theory, that energy could eventually form new beings, and that these beings could pose as gods and even interact with others as they were spirits? Or is it possible that we create the different gods to give life to the different forms of existence? Love, hate, pain, fear, benevolence, chastity, fertility, peace, cars, Tai Chi, etc. And do we do this to fortify our existence in this world, because then we have a God to thank for specific components of our life? And a quote from The Matrix. See, those crows, at one point in time, a program was written to govern over them. And magic, quote, is, there is a God spirit in place to watch over this plane of reality. Well, I'd like to ask the question, who are the programmers of the God spirit? And the response would be, we are. We are programming the God that governs us in this world, because it makes us feel better and more fortified. Majit went on to say that the God becomes subjective to the collective will of the followers, adding new characteristics to the God, and that the spirit inevitably becomes an avatar, and the sustenance of this God takes place in the form of worship and prayer. This relates to the theory of consensus reality. If we give a God spirit our energy, will he continue to exist? If we don't give him our energy, will he also continue to exist? Or was he always there before we gave him our energy? This relates to the question of, do the God spirits exist, or are we creating them in the interplanar space between spirits? I'd also like to pose the question of, are the spiritual energies that are being perceived as gods being manipulated by five sense spirits, in that the spirits that live purely in this world, are they manipulating the doctrine and philosophy of some of these God spirits, which might be rather benevolent? Are they manipulating the doctrines for their own needs so that people can fortify their existence in this world and have a false sense of hope in spirituality and achieving heaven, which may really exist, but they're being misled to think that it exists because of what you do in this five-sense world, which is irrelevant because this part of the world is an extremely minute component of total existence. Magic went on to say that every other god is an enemy in the view of a god figure. They are a potential competitor that could take your followers and destroy your godhood. Does this relate to the social interaction of humans somehow? In that we don't like talking to people that don't fortify our view of existence, and we don't like talking to people that could overtalk us. In getting everybody else's attention, it would seem that they seem to make us non-existent in the eyes of others. And next, Magic spoke about the plurality of religiously accepted gods, in that the God of the Bible, Hebrew, Buddhism, etc., were actually collective God spirits working together, and for some reason were perceived as being a single God figure for simplicity. I'm not too sure. And what I found interesting next was that Magic used the phrase, as our views change, our reality changes with it. Yes, that brings about the point of consensus reality. We create our existence. And in the second part of Magic's pod threads, he began to talk about the beast that transcends a lot of planes, which would be seen as the same beast in biblical mythology of the Christians as being Satan, and in pagan belief as Bahamut, and hundreds of other names relating to what people commonly call Satan. And Magic said that this being could actually be a family of beliefs that act as a spiritual Borg. In Babylonian mythology, a serpent god who was temporarily usurped by the god in the Bible and his avatar bringing about the return of power back to the true leader of the world, who was the serpent, in theory, may be the same entity. Now, is the Christian doctrine seeing this entity in a negative light in order to gain strength and support for its followers because of fear of this entity, and so that they can have more followers rather than have those followers go over to the dark side? Which relates to the Illuminati symbolism of Queen Semiramis, who created a form of the religion worshipping this god in ancient Babylonian times. And here we see the theme of the New World Order actually being led by the benevolent, rightful Lord of the World, the Serpent, to take back power from the God of the Bible. Does this relate to the Renaissance and the increasing faith in science and government and five-sense existence as opposed to spiritual existence and religion? Which poses another question. Is, quote, the Serpent Lord, or Satan, whoever you want to think of it as, is he controlling, quote, the New World Order in order to bring about his reign through creation of an avatar who will return it to him from the Christians and the religious world? This is seen in Christian mythology as being the Antichrist, and that the rapture will come and the serpent's wrath will destroy the world, and all the righteous will go up to heaven, and all the sinners will stay there and have to live eternity in hell. Is that just more Christian propaganda to gain more support for the Christian gods? I think so. And considering that the Christian faith and religion could actually just be made up by the Serpent Lord in order to gain followers temporarily for this world to fortify his reign later on after the Christians have controlled the world for a while and he gets control of the world again, and people would be thankful and grateful to him for that. That is another possibility. And that brings this podcast to a conclusion. This is Nurki saying love and light to you. Peace out.